Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Today, we are concluding our series called The Jesus You Never Knew. We're going to look at this parable that Jesus told once. A parable is a story with kind of a spiritual point, a spiritual lesson embedded in it. You kind of have to find the spiritual point. It's kind of like a story with a moral in it. Remember when you were a kid and you learned the stories with morals in it? Did you guys hear the story about this teacher who wanted her class of third graders, to learn what it meant to have a story with a moral in it? So she gave them an assignment. They all had to go home and ask their parents to tell them a story that had a moral in it. So the next day they come back and the teacher says, okay, Katie, tell us your story. And she says, okay. She said, well, my family are farmers, and we sell eggs at the market. Well, one day, we had a bunch of eggs, and we put them into a basket, and we put it on the floor of the pickup truck, and we drove down to the market, but we hit a bump, and all the eggs flew out and smashed everywhere. It was a mess. Teacher said, well, that's a good story, but what's the moral of the story? Katie said, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Teacher said, that's very good, very good. Okay, what about Jessica? Jessica said, my family are also farmers, but we actually raise chickens for the meat market. But one time we had 12 eggs, but when they hatched, we only had 10 live chicks. Teacher said, that's good. What's the moral? She said, the moral is don't count your chicks until they hatch. The teacher said, that's good. She said, okay, Billy, what's your story? He said, well, my dad told me a story about my Uncle Bob, who was a pilot in Vietnam. And one day he was flying, and his plane got hit, and it was going down. And Uncle Bob had to jump out of the airplane. All he had was a machine gun, a machete, and a bottle of whiskey. And so on the way down, he drank the entire bottle of whiskey so it wouldn't break when he hit the ground. When he finally got to the ground, he was surrounded by 100 enemy troops, and he shot 80 of them with a machine gun, but then he ran out of bullets, so he took the machete, and he killed 10 of them with a machete, but then the blade broke, and then he killed the last 10 with his bare hands. Teacher said, what kind of moral did your parents tell you from that story? And he said, don't mess with Uncle Bob when he's drunk. I think the moral in the story that Jesus told is going to be really obvious by the end of today. So let's look at the story. It's in Matthew chapter 7. We also find it in the book of Luke, but we're going to look at Matthew. Exact same story, really. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew 7. If not, that's okay. We'll put the verses on the screen. If you don't own a Bible, we would actually like to give you one as a gift to you. Stop by the Velcro bar on the way out, and we'll just give you a Bible. There's nothing to it. All right, so Matthew chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 24. It says, Jesus is speaking, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, this story that Jesus tells, really, it's like two stories in one. It's the story of a wise builder and the story of a foolish builder. And I think to learn the moral of the story, you kind of have to compare and contrast. Now, what's similar about these two guys and what's different about these two guys? As Tommy pointed out earlier, this story has kind of been reshaped and retold in many different forms, including a story that we're all very familiar with, the story of the three little pigs. And that childhood story we learned has two foolish pigs who built their house out of junk, one wise pig who built his house out of bricks, and one big bad wolf who huffed and puffed and blew the house down, right? This story has two house builders and one big bad storm that will huff and puff and could blow your house down. And so what is Jesus teaching us? Let's kind of compare and contrast these two builders. So first, let's talk about the constants. What do they have in common? The first thing is that each person in Jesus' story is building a house, right? Everyone builds a house. And the reason is because this isn't optional, right? We're all building a house. See, the two guys in this story represent you and me. Right? He's not telling a story about house builders. He's telling a story about us. And if you want to interpret the story, you just replace the word house with the word life. And the idea is we're all building our lives, right? And it's not optional. Everybody in the story is building a house. This is something we all have in common. Part of Jesus' point is you're building a house, you're building a life, and you are responsible for the life that you build. That's an important point, because so often what so many of us want to do is make someone else responsible for our lives, right? Make someone else responsible for our problems. There was a story, this is a true story, it was in the newspaper, about this guy in Italy who got arrested for bigamy. When the police investigated, they discovered that he had 105 wives. This is a true story. He was married to 105 different women at the same time. Well, when the lawyers asked him, how? Well, how in the world did you do this? Why did you do this? His response was, my lawyers gave me bad legal advice. What? What did they say to him? You know, I just encourage you to keep it reasonable, like 100, 110 wives, that should be fine. What did they say? No. You're responsible for your choices. You're responsible for the life that you build. No one else's. We don't like that, but it's true. And you may never have thought of it this way, but you are building a house. You are building a life every day. We look at some of the big choices we make and we realize those are life-shaping decisions, but it's not just the big choices. Every day, 1,000 times a day, you make decisions, and just little by little, every day, you're constructing your life. Decisions like, will I tell the truth, or will I lie? Will I be patient, or will I be hurried? Will I hold a grudge, or will I forgive? Will I hoard, or will I share? Will I handle the situation with integrity, or will I manipulate? Will I encourage, or will I be sarcastic and tease? Every day, 1,000 times a day, we make decisions, and little by little, we are building our lives. And so many of those decisions, they seem incidental. You know, they're here and they're gone. But they're not gone. They're never gone. Because each of those decisions we make every day, they become a part of this house we're building. They become a part of the life that we're constructing. Right? We are building a house, okay? And so that's the first constant for all of us, for everybody in Jesus' story. We're all house builders. The second constant is that every house faces a storm, okay? The wolf comes knocking at every little pig's door, right? Every house will face a storm. Jesus actually goes to some length to make this point. When he talks about the storm that hits the house built on rock, here's how he describes the storm. Verse 25, he says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Here's how he describes the storm that hit the house built on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Exactly, word for word, the same description. And it's not a mistake. Jesus is the master storyteller, and he's making a point. And his point is, storms hit every house. Storms hit every life, you know? And it's an important point, because the point he's making is, there's no neighborhood where the wolf doesn't come to your door. There's no life that you can live where you're not going to be hit by storms. Now, we would love it if he told that story, right? We would love that story. And the reason is because we all want to live in a neighborhood where the wolf doesn't come. We all want to live lives that aren't hit by storms. But there's no place like that in Jesus' story. And there's no place like that in life, right? Storms hit everyone. We all face storms. Some of you had parents who died when you were young. It's not supposed to happen, but it did for you. You faced that storm. Some of you have lost children. Some of you, your issue is you can't have children. Some of you have children, but for some reason you can't understand. They simply will not return the love that you pour out on them. Others of you, you're now adult children, and you have this relationship with your parents that you just don't understand. You've never been able to have a healthy relationship with your parents, and you long for your parents to love you the way they're supposed to, but they never seem to be able to do that. Some of you haven't had a job for years. Some of you got a bad report back from the doctor. Some of you have been hit by bankruptcy. Some of you have been hit by divorce. Some of you, when you were younger, man, you had big dreams. Like you wanted to be the kind of person who conquered the world, you know? You were going to make a difference. But as you've grown older, it just seems like that dream, little by little, has died. And there's something inside of you that's died as well. The point of Jesus' story is storms hit every life. There is no place where you can live free of injustice. No place where you can live free of accidents that come out of the blue. No place that you can live free of cancer that was completely unexpected. No place that you can live free of layoffs and firings. No place that you can live free of death. Storms hit every life. Okay? So in Jesus' story, there are some constants, right? We're trying to understand the story. There are some things that each of the builders have in common, and we all have in common. We are all house builders, and we are all storm facers. But then, in Jesus' story, we get to the turning point, to the question. And the question is this: what are you going to build your life on? What are you going to build your life on? You know, we are all building our life, but the question is, what will we build our lives on? And the point Jesus makes in the story is that the foolish choice is to build your house on sand. The foolish choice is to build your house out of sticks or straw. The foolish choice is to put your ultimate trust in anything that cannot sustain you through the storms of life. Because you know they're coming. And so it's very foolish to not ask yourself, what am I building my life on? And when the storms hit, because they will my life stand up to those storms? And the reality is, so many people make foolish choices. You know, so many of us build our lives on things that cannot sustain us through the storms. So many of us build our lives on things that cannot ultimately fulfill us. So many of us build our lives on things that in the end will leave us empty. So common. There's a guy named Jonathan Cheevers, and he studies people. He says, the main emotion of the average adult American who has had all the advantages of wealth, education, and culture is disappointment. Disappointment. But why? Why is disappointment so epidemic in a society that has so much? I think it's because we're placing heavier and heavier expectations on piles of sand that simply cannot support our lives. Right? We do it all the time, you and I. Right? Like our jobs. You know, throughout the history of human civilization, there was one expectation of your job. It would put food on the table. And that's why you worked, because you needed food, shelter, and clothing. And my expectation was, if I do this job, it will lead me to have my basic needs met. Not anymore. You know, today, you know, with our jobs, what we're looking for is significance. We're looking for our identity. We're looking for our self-esteem. We're looking for, you know, our lives to find fulfillment in our jobs. And we place heavier and heavier expectations on our jobs, but our jobs simply can't do that for us. They just can't provide what we're looking for. And it's not just our jobs. It's like the things we buy. Today, there has never been a time, obviously, in the history of humanity where there was more available. You know, where we had more energy-saving devices, labor-saving devices, where we had more technology, more things to make us comfortable. And advertisers keep making us promises, right? If you just buy this, if you just get that, you will be happy. But they make promises they can't keep because, I mean, really, when you get the smaller phone or the bigger TV, does it really make you happier? You know, a day later, a week later, are you really a happier person because you bought something? It's our cars. You know, it's interesting. It used to be a car was viewed as a labor-saving, time-saving device to get you from here to there. That's all a car was, right? It was supposed to get you from one point to another, but not anymore. There was a magazine ad for a car recently, and it was this gorgeous-looking car. And underneath the picture of the car, it said, "You can't buy happiness, but now you can lease it." Really? But what if you lease happiness and you're still not happy? Right? What do you do then? You know? The names of cars keep getting more and more grandiose, making bigger and bigger promises. You can now buy a car called Infinity. Really? So what if you buy Infinity and it wears out? What do you do then? When you start with Infinity, how do you upgrade from Infinity? Right? Do you know what cars used to be called? Do you know what you used to drive around in? A Rambler. Right? It doesn't set the expectations very high. It's what it does. You know, you ramble over here and you ramble over there. That's what it does. It's a Rambler, you know, and it wasn't something you base your life on. But, you know, now we have Millennium and we have Infinity, and man, they just make promises they can't deliver. They can't. You know, we have these thoughts and we're taught to think this way of, if only I could buy that. If only I could experience this. If only I could go to there. If only I could get that. And then when we get it, we realize we're not happier. This guy named Oscar Wilde, he said, "The only thing worse than not getting what you really want is getting it." Because when you get it, you realize it's not what you really wanted. And what do you do now? Because it can't satisfy your soul. The question, I think, we would ask if we talk to the guy who built his house on the sand is, how did you get yourself into this mess? You know, as he looked at his house just crumbled all over the sand, you know, sunk into the sand, how did you get yourself into this mess? And Jesus, in kind of answering that question, says something very profound about human nature. I don't know if you caught it, but he uses an adjective to describe this man. Did you catch what adjective he uses? Anybody? You were listening. Foolish, right? He says he was a foolish man who built his house on the sand. He didn't have evil intentions. It wasn't like he was a bad man. He was just foolish. If you asked him, how did you get yourself into this mess? Do you know what he would have said? I don't know. It just happened. right? I didn't plan on it. It just happened. No one ever sets out to build a house on the sand. There's never been an architect who came along and said, this is perfect. If we build this house right here on the sand, it will totally collapse when a storm hits. Let's do it, right? That has never happened. And no one plans on building a house in the sand. It just happens. It just happens. No one plans on living a mediocre life. It just happens. No one plans on living a boring life. It just happens. No couple takes their marriage vows planning on getting divorced. It just happens. Right? Nobody walks into a bar, sits down, orders their first drink, planning on becoming an alcoholic. It just happens. Nobody takes their first snort, pops their first pill, planning on becoming an addict. No one ever gets hurt, chooses to be resentful, planning on becoming a bitter old man. It just happens. No one ever works so much, spends so much time at their job that they have kids that they never even really know, and their kids grew up resenting them. Nobody plans on that. It's not intentional. It just happens. No one makes the choice. I think what I'm going to do is leave God out of my life and then have to go into eternity without him and spend eternity without him. No one chooses that. It just happens. It's just foolishness. And you know what? Most of us never even realize it's happening until the storm hits, right? We don't even realize that we made those choices until the storms hit. And then when the storms hit, we realize, right? It's not until then that we realize what we've built our life on, right? It's not until family or friends die or the divorce happens that the person who built their entire life on another person realizes, oh, I built my life on a person and now they're gone. And their life crumbles to the ground. It's not until the downsizing or the firing or even just retirement that the person who built their entire life on their career realizes, I now have nothing to live for. And their life falls to the ground. You know, the person who builds their entire life on partying and picking up members of the opposite sex, they don't even realize that they've done that until maybe they get old enough that the whole thing just becomes boring to them. Or they get so old that it's not really possible anymore because the members of the opposite sex don't find them so attractive. And they realize, I don't have a life. And their life just crumbles to the ground. See, storms reveal what our houses were really made of and how firm a foundation we actually had. And I'll tell you this, we don't like this, but eventually we are all going to be hit by the storm of death. And on that day, even the people in this life who got through life relatively unscathed by storms, even those people, when they're hit by the storm of death, they'll discover what they built their life on. Because on that day, they're going to stand before God. And there is going to be this holy and righteous God who examines what we constructed our life out of and what we built our foundation on. And on that day, it will become very obvious whether we built on rock or on sand. And all of this is why Jesus is trying to teach us, why he's saying to us, build your life on me. Put your trust in me. Make the foundation of your life me and my teachings. Because Jesus is the only thing the only foundation that can weather every storm and help you to face eternity with confidence. Jesus is the only foundation who will allow you to weather every storm and face eternity and death with hope and confidence. And so Jesus says, the moral of the story, okay? The point embedded in this story that you were hoping to find is build your life on Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Build your life on the foundation of him and his teachings. By the way, do you know why Jesus is the only foundation that can help you weather the storms and get you through eternity? Do you know why Jesus is the one that you should build your life on? Do you know why? Some of you might say, well, because he had good teachings. I mean, you follow Jesus, you build your life on Jesus because he had good teachings. He did have good teachings, incredible teachings, and that is true, but you don't build your life on someone because they have good teachings, right? So you could build your life on Oprah or Anthony Robbins. They have some good teachings. It'd be stupid to build your life on somebody just because they have good teachings. That's not why. You might say, well, you build your life on Jesus, you make him your foundation because he loves you, right? No. He loves you. I mean, he loves you more than anyone loves you, and that's a really good thing. But other people love you. Are you going to build your life on your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your spouse or your kid because they love you? It'd be stupid. Right? You don't build your life on somebody because they love you. Right? Jesus loves you. That's good. But no, that's not why. You say, no, it's because he died for me. Jesus died for me. He did die for you. And that's an important thing. That's critical. But you don't build your life on somebody because they died for you. There's been lots of people who have died for you. There's soldiers who go to other countries and fight wars and die for you all the time. You don't build your life on them. That'd be stupid. You don't build your life on somebody because they die. What Jesus, his death is different than theirs. It has a different impact on your life and your eternity. But you don't build your life on somebody because they died for you. No. No. You build your life on Jesus because he rose from the dead. That's why. Next week is Easter. And on Easter, Christians celebrate the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus walked around as a person for about 3.5 years. He lived for about 30 years-ish, but for about 3 years, he went around saying, listen, everybody, I am going to die. Like, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. I will stay dead for 3 days, and then I will rise from the dead. And then Jesus did it. That gets my attention. Right? Listen, if any of you tell me that you will be killed, that you will stay dead for 3 days and then rise from the dead, and then you actually do it, I will build my life on you. Okay? I mean it. If any of you can do that, I will build my life on you and your teachings. But you can't do that. Only Jesus can. Because Jesus was God. In human flesh. And that's why you build your life on him. And that's why he is the only foundation for your life who can get you through the storms. And the only foundation for your life that will allow you to get into eternity with God. Because when you stand before that holy and righteous judge who is God, and he looks at the life you constructed, and he looks at the foundation you had, the Bible teaches us that when we choose Jesus, he, God, allows us to stand on Jesus' foundation instead of our own, to stand on Jesus' record instead of our own. And so Jesus says, build your life on me. The moral of the story, build your life on Jesus. Build your life on the teachings of Jesus. Let me just say this, because my guess is there are some of you, probably some of you are like, man, I don't know if I can do that. This is new to me. I need to think about this. Or maybe you're like, man, I need to do this. But there's probably some of you who are like, good message, Vince, good message, but I've already done this. I'm a Christian. I've already made that choice. Good message, but I've already done this. Okay. Let me ask you two questions, okay? Two questions. First question, are you sure? Are you sure? Because Jesus taught He actually taught this repeatedly, but one of the places he taught this is in Matthew 7, two verses before the story we looked at today, if you want to check it out. Jesus taught that there will be many people who thought they built their life on the foundation of Jesus, but did not actually build their life on the foundation of Jesus. He didn't say, there will be a few people who think they did, but they didn't. He says, he used the word many. There's going to be all kinds of people who are surprised when they face the storm of death and stand before God and say, I chose Jesus. And God's going to be like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. And so, are you sure? Are you sure? And Jesus teaches us that the way to be sure, the way to find out if you've actually, because maybe some of us, we had this point where we accepted Jesus. We said, okay, that guy's God. Like, he rose from the dead, I get it, he's God. And so we believe in Jesus, we just never built our life on him. Jesus says the way to be sure is to look at your life and see if you're actually living out Jesus' teachings. That's what he says, that's what the whole idea of Matthew 7 is if you're actually living what I taught, I'm your foundation. But if you say, I'm your Savior and your Lord, blah, 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 but you're not actually living out what I teach, maybe I'm not. So first question, are you sure? Second question, is it possible that you are building your life, your foundation is Jesus? And is it possible that it's Jesus and? Because what some people do, I think, and I struggle with this too, is we choose Jesus, we say, yep, he's the one, I'm going to build my life on him. And so it's like, what will make me feel fulfilled in life and make me happy is Jesus and money. It's Jesus and the vacation we're going on this summer. Like, I need that too. It's Jesus and my kids' success. I mean, if they don't end up being successful and having good lives, then my life would be over. Like, I would be, you know, that would be the end of me. So it's not just Jesus. It's Jesus and. And the problem is, there's no Jesus and. You know, it's not, I'm going to make my decisions based on the teachings of Jesus and what will make me happy. I'm going to build my life on the teaching of Jesus. That's how I'll make my decisions and what will get me money. No, it's not Jesus and, it's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. And that's the choice we all have to make. So, little piggies, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? I mean, you're building your life. That's not optional, okay? You can't, someday I'll build my... No, you are building your life every single day. And so the question you face every single day, including right now, is what will you base your life on? What are you building your life on? Sand or rock? Straw or bricks, because the storms are going to hit your life. They will hit your life. And someday, the storm of death is going to huff, and it's going to puff, and it is going to blow your house in. And on that day, it will be very clear what you built your life on. It'll become very obvious to you, and it'll be very obvious to God what your foundation was. So build your house on rock. Build your house on Jesus for your sake and for God's sake and for the people's sake who you love. Build your house on Jesus because he is the only foundation who can get you through the storms of life. And he is the only foundation who can get you into eternity with God. For some of you, maybe today's your day. Maybe you're sitting here right now and your heart's beating a little bit quick and you're like, what's going on? I feel like I'm starting to sweat. Like, this is a little bit weird. And you're not sure, but the reason is because today's your day, man. You've been coming. You've been thinking about this stuff and you've been kind of juggling it all. And you're realizing, I need to just make this decision. Like, I just need to do this. I need to stop stalling. I just need to say yes and start building my life in Jesus. I don't know completely what that even means or what it would look like in my life, but I just need to do that. And if that's you, if you're like, man, today's my day, man, make today your day. Do it. The Bible says the way you say yes, and you say yes to making Jesus your foundation, is through faith and baptism. Faith is when you say yes. It's saying, okay, I'm moving my allegiance, and I'm moving my seeking fulfillment, and I'm moving my decision-making from whatever it was to Jesus. And I'm probably not going to do this perfect, so thank God he loves me unconditionally, he has grace, but that's what I'm going to decide to base my life on today. And faith is making that decision, and then you kind of seal that decision, that commitment, in baptism. Baptism is when a person's lowered underwater. Weird, right? But it represents being buried in a grave, and it's kind of like, man, that old life I've been living with something else as my foundation, with something else other than Jesus that I've been living for, I'm putting it in a grave, and I'm going to leave it there, and then you're raised up out of the water to live a new life with Jesus as your foundation. We actually had a baptism day a couple of weeks ago. We weren't planning on doing it today, but we had somebody ask to get baptized after the second service. So we have it all set up. And maybe there's somebody in this room who's like, I need to stop waiting and stop stalling and just do it. And if that's you, man, let me know. Let somebody at the Velcro Bar know. You got an hour and a half to go home, get a change of clothes, grab a towel, and be back here at 12:30. And about 12:30, 12:45, we'll be doing baptisms. And man, you can make this your day. You can make this your day. Be the best day of your life. Others of you might be like, oh, I'm here on a bet, man. This is my first time. Somebody bet me I wouldn't like church, and so I showed up. Oh, I'm not getting baptized, dude. Like this is overboard. Okay, all right. I get that. It took me a while to make a decision, too. I understand. But, well, let me ask you this. And if it's even remotely possible that this is true, then shouldn't you investigate it? Like, shouldn't this be important enough? If this is your whole life and your whole eternity, isn't it worth you saying, I think I need to, like, be here next week? I thought this was going to be, like, a one-time thing, but I think I'm going to come back and, like, check this out more. Maybe you're like, you know, you said I should base my life on Jesus because he rose from the dead. I don't know that Jesus rose. Isn't that, like, a myth? Isn't that something you believe because you're a Christian, but I don't believe it? Well, actually, there's lots of evidence for that. Lots. And we have this class, it's a part of our Verve University called Verge. And Verge starts 2 weeks from today, a week after Easter, and it's a 6-week class. In week two, we look at evidence that will absolutely convince you that there, beyond any shadow of a reasonable doubt, that Jesus rose from the dead. And so maybe if you're new to all this, you can say, I'll go to the class on Sunday nights. You know, maybe you say, I'm not willing to come here on Sunday morning, Sunday night. I'll just go to the class for 6 weeks. I'm not going to do both. Well, go to the class. And that class will teach you how to make Jesus your foundation and why to trust in him. But we're all building a life. We're all going to face storms. And so, build your life on Jesus. We're going to give you a little bit of time to think about that, to pray about that if you're someone who prays. Band's going to play one more song, and so we just want to give you some time to think about, maybe take a look at yourself and say, am I? If I think I am, am I? Or am I one of the many who think so, but I'm really not? Or maybe you're somebody who's like, I know I'm not, but I know I want to, and I'm coming back and getting baptized, and you can talk to God about that. Or maybe you're somebody who's like, I'm not ready for that big step, but you need to think about, what are the little baby steps I can take in the right direction? So we're going to give you some time to do that. During this time, we also make communion available. Communion's on the trays on the tables on the sides of the room, and it's a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent the body and blood of Christ, and it's a way of us remembering he did love us unconditionally, and he did die for us. Now, if he didn't raise from the dead, I wouldn't base my life on him, but he did raise from the dead, and it's really nice to have somebody who loves you so much he'd sacrifice his life for you. Wow. And the Bible tells us that his death takes our sins away. Thank you, God. And so in communion, we remember that. So I'm going to pray. We'll give you guys a couple, 3-4 minutes to spend some time processing all this and thinking about your next step, and then we'll close out the service. Let's pray. God, thanks for Jesus and the fact that he is the master storyteller. Thanks for the story that he told about these two guys, because those two guys represent everyone in this room. There are some of us, like I was for most of my life, that are making the foolish choice of building our life on something that cannot sustain us through the storms of life and will not work for us when we face death and eternity. And then some of us are making wise choices, and some of us are kind of bouncing back and forth, and we need some help, God. But God, my prayer is that every one of us would make that choice. I'm going to build my life on Jesus.
And I remember back when I made that decision, I didn't exactly know all that it meant. I didn't know what would happen to me because of it, but I knew that Jesus was clearly my best option. And the fact that he rose from the dead convinced me that he was God in the flesh, and I needed to listen to him. God, I pray that every person in this room makes that decision eventually, and for a lot of us, maybe we need to make it today. Maybe some people need to give their lives to you in baptism today. We want to be people that when the storms of life hit, it hurts, but it's okay. And when death comes, it's okay, because we know we're going to be with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.